Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
This morning, I have the privilege of bringing forth our word this morning. Pastor Nelly and Pastor Tina and the family are down in Sydney. They're with our Every Nation family down there at a church camp down there. They're speaking down there. And so, this morning we continue our series of Dug Down Deep series, okay? So, awesome. Okay, can we be all upstanding, please, as we read God's word this morning? Okay, so let's read this together. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me." And he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. In verse 5, then the prophet of Gad said to David, "Do not remain in the stronghold. Depart and go into the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Herith. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power, the anointing, the encouragement that comes from your word, Father. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, speak to our spirits, speak to our minds and our hearts this morning. Father, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And we all say, amen. So as we pick up this verse from verse 1, number 1, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So a couple of questions come to mind when I read this straight off the bat, okay? Where did he just come from? Where did he just come from? And what or who was he escaping from? So let's just trace this back, okay? So in chapter 17, David became King Saul's greatest soldier when he slaughtered Goliath, right? Everyone knows the story of David and Goliath, right? Yes. So he takes down Goliath with a sling and a stone. You might remember the story. David, this teenager at the time, coming confidently before Saul to tell him, "Who is this Philistine that comes before the armies of the living God and taunts them day and night?" And David goes on to say, "I have killed lions and bears while protecting my father's sheep. This Philistine will suffer the same consequences for coming against the armies of the living God." You know, David was going out with God to meet Goliath. But Goliath was coming to David with his gear. He was coming to him with his spear. He was coming to him with his sword. He was coming to him with his shield. And who knows, when you take gears against God, you're going to lose, right? Gears against God, just, you got no chance. God outweighed Goliath's gears. You know, in chapter 18, after this victory, a number one hit song was written with these lyrics. "Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands." Great ring to it, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't sing, sorry. But these words did not sit well with Saul. They irritated him really badly. They played on his mind. Because Saul was a people pleaser, you know? And so when he heard these words, it was like, man, it was messing with his head. It was like, man, if people are saying this about David, that he slays 10,000s, what's to stop this guy from taking my kingdom? That was Saul's attitude. And you know what? At that moment, a bitter root was formed in Saul's heart. Jealousy had now entered King Saul. And so David was quickly becoming the hero to the people of Israel. But in the background, he was also now the most hated and hunted man by his own king. The same king that gave him the opportunity to fight Goliath. David survives and dodges various attempts of Saul to try and kill him. And that's in chapter 19. And then in chapter 20, we see the bond between David and Jonathan. It comes into fruition. You see, Jonathan, he finally gets to see the true colors of his father, you know, towards David. And so Jonathan, he gets to see the bitter root, the bitter fruit from his father's attitude, his father's anger towards David. And so Jonathan decides, okay, I need to help David. And so he helps David escape. And so begins the life of David on the run as he becomes Israel's most wanted man by King Saul. And so David is on the run and he runs, he escapes to the cave of Adullam. And this is the title of my message this morning. Never Adullam moment. I know, when I was thinking about it, you know, I'm thinking about it in my head, I was thinking, is that corny? I hope people get it, you know. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The cave of Adullam was a key transformational point in the life of David and the people that joined him there. Seeing how these people came out of this cave, considering, you know, what they came into the cave with and how they ended up there, it's a pretty amazing story. And that's what we're going to look at today. The word Adullam is translated to mean a hiding place or refuge. In other passages, the Bible refers to it as a stronghold or the stronghold. And so when you know the meaning and then read how some of the Psalms that David wrote while he was in that cave, you see the place all over it. Refuge, a hiding place. So let's carry on with the text to the next part of verse 1. And it says this, And when his brothers and his father's household heard it, they went down there to him. When you're in a tight spot, a place of isolation, a place of trouble, who are the people that come looking for you? Who are the people that will come down to where you are? Real family will put aside differences and come down to where you are. No matter what has been happened in the past, no matter what trials or challenges that you've gone through, they will set that aside for the most present situation. Do you have family like that? Amen. That's what I want to hear. That we do have people, family in our lives that will come down wherever we are, no matter what's happened, that they'll just turn up and be there for us. Listen to this. In Psalm 142:7, it says, bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. Everyone say, the righteous will surround me. For you will deal bountifully with me. This was one of David's prayers in the cave. He prayed to God for righteous people to come around him. He was praying for people to come around him with this righteousness as an attribute of God. So he wanted godly people around him. And so he cried out to God, God, surround me with these sorts of people. And God brings his family, his brothers around him. Then another group of people arrive in verse 2. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. Man, David attracts some really interesting characters, huh? In another translation, it says that all those who were in distress, in debt, and discontent gathered around him. These guys were the original 3D boy band. Ladies, calm down. Okay, I know, ladies. See, those guys, who could tell me who that band is? Oh my goodness, 3T. But you gotta hear me, okay? 3T, 3D. 3D comes before 3T, so the 3D existed before them, okay? Distress, debt, and discontent, okay? I don't know any songs. If Nelly was up here, he'd be singing that song straight off, right? But one question that comes to mind when you think about David being in that cave is this. What is David doing in the cave? What's he doing there? How is he passing time in this cave? Think about it. He's in a place where There's no one else. It's just him. This is before all these people started arriving there. You know, his family and all these people with these issues and baggage. He's there by himself in the cave of Adullam. There's no internet connection. No Netflix. No NBA basketball. No New South Wales. Whoa! But there was nothing there. There was nothing to distract him. There was nothing to take his focus off focusing on God. He was there. You know, and I think about this. You know, if it was me in that cave, I'd be trying to figure out, okay, I'm in this cave. Okay, God, I need to figure out a way, God. How am I going to get out of this situation? How am I going to, I need to clear my name with Saul. I need to fix this up, God, you know. I need to do something, God. I need to do this. You know, and that'll be me. And you know what? If I was doing that, I'd miss the point. Miss the point of being there. You know, because the point of being there is that God is trying to, hey, don't look at your situation. Look to me. God's wanting us to turn our attention to him in that cave of Adullam. But you know what, David understood these moments. That when he was by himself, he wasn't really alone. God was there with him. He just needed to turn his attention, turn his focus towards God. You know, Jesus' advice to his disciples when they pray was this. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You know, to David, at this point in his life, if he read this, I think it would have been like something like this to him, you know. But when you pray, go into your cave, turn your back on your entrance, and pray to your Father who sees in secret. The Father who sees you in your secret will reward you. David understood the opportunity before him. So instead of filling his mind with busyness, he turned his eyes towards God. So we get a look into David's, just a little glimpse into David's prayer life during this difficult time. You know, and there are a couple of Psalms that he writes while he's in that cave. And Psalms 142 is one of them. And in these Psalms, you know, when you listen to these Psalms, man, there is amazing imagery that David is communicating through these Psalms. Imagery of a man who's crying out to God to help him. In Psalms 142, verses 1 to 2, it says, with my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. A question for us. Is this the heart behind our prayers in times of our own difficulties? Do you cry out to God? Do you plead for mercy? Do you take your complaints before him? Do you tell him about the trouble that you're going through? Or do you take it to Facebook? Henry, you said the F word. Yeah. Do you take it to Facebook? You know, I was thinking about this. And, you know, if Facebook was around when David was there, and David responded like, you know, those people. You know those people, right? Who like put out everything, you know. If David made a status update, it would look something like this. Okay, no, serious, come on, here, let me out. Sup, everybody? Man, I'm in a real bad place at the moment. Been struggling with this guy. He seemed like a really nice person the first time I met him. But then he just changed after I won a fight for him. He invites me into his house. And then out of the blue, he tries to kill me, man. In his own house. Who does that? People are weird, man. People are weird. Hashtag psycho. Hashtag not my king. Hashtag on the run. But David didn't do that. He didn't go to Facebook. Thank Jesus. He didn't let his fingers do the talking. He went to God. He cried out to God with his voice. He cries out to God. He goes to the only person who could really change his situation. Do you recognize that? Do we recognize that? Do we do that? God should be our first point of contact when we're going through life. And when do we go through life? Every single day. Every single day. So to only come to God when we're going through stuff, going through challenges, that can be a really shallow shallow sort of reflection of your relationship with God, man. You know? Just the bad times. God, rub, 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 please turn up for me, God. I need you. Genie on the call. Come on, God. Please be here for me. I need you. I need you to do this for me. God ain't like that. This is God. God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, creator of the seen and unseen. And he wants to have a relationship with you and me. That alone should be enough for us to come before him and say, thank you, God. I want to hear from you. I want to sit in your presence today, Lord God. About 2 to 3 years after me and my wife, we got married in 1998. Don't do the numbers. We decided that, you know, we wanted to start a family. You know, two, 3 years into our marriage, we thought, okay, now's a good time to start a family. And so the first child we had was in 2007. And we had a miscarriage. And that was tough. That was tough for us. Because we had been waiting so long. And when we initially, when we found out the news that, yeah, my wife's pregnant, man, we were like, yes, let's tell the whole world, hon. Let's tell the whole world. And we did. We were so excited. But then at 16 weeks, my wife was having some complications. And so we ended up at Logan Hospital. And as the doctors, they were running their tests, they were doing a scan. You know, the hardest thing to wait for is for a doctor to say whether there's a heartbeat. And the doctor came back to say, sorry, there's no heartbeat. In all honesty, God was our first point of contact. The doctor and nurse that did the scan, they left the room. And right there and then in that room, we cried out to God. Right there in that room, we told our hurt, our troubles, our frustrations to God. God heard direct from us. But we continued to believe. We continued to put our faith and our trust in him that he would make another way. He would make another way. He would bring about another opportunity for us to have kids. And so, in 2008, in 2009, we welcomed praises and Ezekiel. Please don't tell them I showed you this photo. My daughter's very emotional about those photos. People used to say, she looks like a cabbage patch baby. I was like, I know. She's my cabbage patch baby, man. God is faithful. Amen. He knows what's best for us, even when we don't see it or agree with it. He's the master builder. He is the one with the master plan. And so we need to train ourselves to go to him as the first point of contact. Amen. You know, in the next part of that verse, in verse 2, it says this, and he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. You know, how does David become commander over these 400 men? Especially when they've come with baggage, right? Remember, these guys, these are distressed guys. They had some issues, man, whether it was with people or with Saul. You know, they were in debt, physically, emotionally, whatever. They were discontent. They were unhappy people. And they turn up at David's front cave door. You know? This is how these men saw David, okay? This is how they saw him. They saw David's situation as one that wasn't as bad as their own. They saw David's situation that he was in. They thought, nah, it can't be as bad as my situation. You know, sometimes our worst condition is still better to other people. Hey, we think we got it bad, but other people looking in at us, and they look at us, no, you don't got it bad. I got it bad, man. You know? In other words, there will be times When the needs of others will outweigh our own struggles. The needs of others will outweigh our own struggles. And this is one of those moments for David in the cave of Adullam, where there is never a duller moment. I got to use it again. Where there is never a duller moment. These people have been drawn to him. So he puts his own challenges, his own struggles that he's going through, he puts them aside temporarily so he can encourage them. So he can encourage these people that have turned up in his cave. He's in a cave, man, hiding in a cave. He's a wanted man by King Saul. People are hunting for him. They're searching for this guy. He is alone and by himself. And then all these people turn up. And so now David changes from me mode to them mode. It's about them. It's about encouraging these people. It's about helping the broken. It's about speaking life to these people who may be bitter, who may be downtrodden, you know, who are carrying unforgiveness. These are the people that we need to be speaking to. Sounds sort of familiar to what we're called to do right here, right? We too can be provided with these sorts of opportunities when we are in our cave of Adullam. God may bring certain people into our lives that may need encouragement, people that may need a specific word, or people that may just want a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on. And if we get so fixated on our own issues, if we get so focused on me, myself, and I, we can miss this opportunity of being able to walk alongside someone and walk them through their breakthrough. David did it for these 400 men that turned up on his front cave doorstep. And you know what? Jesus does it for us today. He continues to do it for us today. You know what? I think there have been moments in my own personal life that I look at and I think, you know, God's spoken to me. But I've been like, oh, nah, I'm too tired. Oh, nah, I can't be bothered going to talk to those people. Oh, nah, I've got to get home and watch a game. But God's saying, hey, go talk to that person. Hey, step out and you know, go say hi to them. And so I miss these opportunities of being able to encourage someone. I miss these opportunities of being God's mouthpiece to that person right there and then. I've missed opportunities to be able to speak life to people. You know, when we help people out with no expectations, with no sort of, you know, you don't owe me anything. I just want to do this for you. You know, they'll tend to trust you enough to naturally want to follow you. Because that speaks volumes about your heart. It speaks volumes about your leadership. Even though you may not be intending for them to follow you, you may not even want them to follow you, but because you have the servant heart about yourself, about just wanting to speak encouragement, about just speaking life to them, they'll just naturally want to follow you. They'll naturally want to be around you. John C. Maxwell has this quote, "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." So David has ended up in this cave. The cave of Adullam. He's crying out to God for help. And God answers his prayers by bringing some of his family around him. And he brings these men with baggage around him. And he becomes their leader and commander. Because he sees the need of these men around him. More so than his own personal struggle that he was going through at the time. So he chooses to redefine them. He chooses to encourage them. He chooses to become a leader to them. This group of people that came out of the cave did not come out the same way that they walked in as. In fact, a particular group of men came out changed, transformed. They came out with a renewed love, a refreshed vision. They came out with a leader. They came out with a purpose. And so were born David's mighty men. And you can read about that in 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 to 39. You can read, there's a list of mighty men and the mighty things that they did because of their love for their king. You know, each of us sitting in this auditorium have been attracted to Jesus because of some discontent in our own lives. Maybe we don't get along with certain people. Maybe we've had situations that we've gone through and we're like, nah, can't be stuffed, man. Doesn't work. And we've come with baggage. We've brought rejection. We've brought, you know, bitterness. We've brought all this stuff because we've been drawn towards Jesus. Just like these men were drawn towards David, we have been drawn towards Jesus. We've been drawn to him for a reason, for a purpose. He wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to transform us for the better so that we can go out and encourage someone else, so that we can go out and influence someone else so that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We too can become mighty men and women of God. Now, I said at the top of this that the cave of Adullam was a transformational point in the life of David. When was the last time that you were in your cave of Adullam? Where you were completely undistracted, totally focused on God. That you gave your complete attention to Him.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.